Welcome to Wine Road, the wine, when, and where of Northern Sonoma County. I'm your host, Marcy Gordon, with Beth Costa, Executive Director of the Wine Road.
Thanks to Ron Rubin, we're able to keep our podcast rolling along. The financial support of River Road Family Vineyards and Winery allows us to keep recording, keep sipping wine, and keep sharing stories with our listeners. Check out their website at riverroadvineyards.com and explore their Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Old Vine Zinfandel from the Russian River Valley, as well as a finely crafted Cabernet Sauvignon from the Alexander Valley. That's riverroadvineyards.com. And hey, thanks, Ron, for allowing us to make this show happen.
Welcome to episode 198. Today, our guest is Shane Tracy, and he is the tasting room manager at Wilson Winery. Hello and welcome, Shane.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Glad you're here.
So you're a tasting room manager at Wilson, and do you work primarily at the Wilson Winery property or some of the other wineries?
Just at Wilson, the flagship winery on Dry Creek Road.
So tell us about that. Tell us about, I think you're probably free to talk about all of the artisan wineries that are a part of that family.
Yeah.
So let's hear about that.
So I've been at Wilson since summer 2019. It's been a fun journey to kind of go through fires and
so that's quite a while at this point.
And COVID.
Yeah. You've been through a lot.
You've
at
been
this
through
point.
It all.
Just a few years. Honestly, it's amazing to work in a size of company like Wilson Artisan, but also have the support of it being family owned and family ran.
Mm-hmm.
I see Diane on the regular and Ken Wilson also very regularly. And
yeah, they're very hands on, which is super cool.
Yeah, they're also such engaging personalities. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, they're a blast.
Yeah.
And, you know, Diane makes some incredible wine, not just at Wilson. She makes wine at a few of her other properties, Matrix.
So we're having one of our incredible wines right now. You want to tell us about this?
Yes, let's talk about this.
Because we were just sitting here before we kind of started recording, and I had a glass of wine in front of me, so I picked it up, not really paying attention. Took a sip. I'm like, oh, my God, that was amazing.
So this is our 2021 Dry Creek Valley Reserve. Retails for $38 a bottle. This is actually the wine that won Sonoma County Harvest Fair Red Wine Sweepstakes. Back in the fall.
I mean, this really is delicious. I'm going to take that extra bottle home tonight.
Please.
I'm saying right now. Did you hear that, Marcy?
Yes, I heard you.
I have company coming for dinner tonight.
I know.
And sometimes I'm like, oh, I'll just leave that fridge. I'm like, no, I have company coming tonight.
I saw your eyes
light
up.
This is amazingly
good. So it is the 2021 Zinfandel, and it has, you know, that's our flagship grape in Dry Creek Valley.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really lovely. It has all the earmarks of a great Zinfandel, but we were talking before, has a little bit of Petite Sirah. I don't know if anyone could tell that, but I think that gives it like a real, you know, steadiness.
Yeah, it adds a little structure to the back end. I mean, Diane makes such a like a vast style of different Zins. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this one kind of showcases Dry Creek Valley, you know, standard of fruit up front.
Right,
a lot of that blackberry.
It's just got that little drive, I think, mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not a winemaker, but I do drink wine. I play one on TV.
I think you pretty well. Yeah. What brought you into the wine business to begin with?
So I actually studied wine at Sonoma State.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually a Rona Park native. I did elementary through college all in town.
Wow, that's a rarity.
Yeah, there's a handful of
do
us.
Do you get a little badge for that?
Key to the town, actually.
Key to the town.
I'll have to talk to some people about that.
I'll have to make that.
Yeah, where is that?
So we can do that.
So I did the wine program and marketing and was fortunate enough to do my internship.
So that's a great program. I mean, what a wonderful resource here in this region.
And I was always interested in it too. Like growing up in the county, like my parents were wine club members at a couple wineries. My mom loves Pinot, so like they would always have one like Pinot winery and then like one either Zin or Cab winery that they're wine club members.
So your mom's like, who needs a doctor in the family? We got a person in wine.
My sister is a nurse, so
they
checked that box.
You got everything. Your parents must be so happy.
Yeah, and they still live in town, and I still live in town, so I drop off wine to them.
Oh, that's great.
Fairly regularly.
Well, I think
true
it's
native.
Interesting because I got started in the wine business similar because I moved here, and like this is the wine industry is here, you know. So I thought, I know nothing about wine when I started, and I really didn't have any big interest in wine. I wasn't a big wine drinker, but I thought, well, if this is where I live, this is where I'm going to be able to find a job. And obviously, you know, one thing led to another,
right.
to another. But it really was just because, well, there's so many wineries there, you know, there's going to be something where I'm a good fit.
Right. And I was lucky enough when I was with the wine program at Sonoma State, you have to have an internship at a winery. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, of course, in the business program, they're always preaching like it's networking, who you know.
Right. Yeah.
And had a family friend that was the sales manager at a place called B.R. Cohn Winery in Sonoma Valley.
Oh, gosh, yes. Right. Yeah.
And I was an intern there for one of my last years in college.
Wow. That's a very – they have all the concerts there. They make amazing olive oil there. And
it was such a great experience. And I was only the intern for like the first 2 months. And then I'm literally thrown into, all right, here's the big music festival.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Make it happen.
Yeah. And my boss came by and was like, all right, take the iPad. Go take some photos. Like you're the marketing intern. So
right.
I like snuck my way on stage when Huey Lewis was playing.
Oh boy, what fun!
And it was an incredible experience. I got a chance to learn from so many people at that winery. And when I finished school, I stayed around. They offered me a full time position. Mm-hmm. About 2 months after that, they were acquired by Vintage Wine Estates.
Yeah.
And stayed working with them for another 4.5-5 years.
Oh my gosh.
Managed wine clubs for them through Vianza Sonoma. Mm-hmm. And then moved over and managed two kind of like luxury brands in Napa, Swanson Vineyards, and Delectus Winery.
Mm-hmm.
It was an incredible experience.
So you've had the full panoply of all the experiences.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
Yeah. And like I said earlier, like I've got a chance now to kind of be in the middle. I've gotten to work at a small family-owned, also like major corporate.
Right.
And kind of in the middle with Wilson Artisan it's incredible because you have the support of so many different people at work on staff, not just at my winery, but through all of the wineries. And there's so much great feedback and
that's
opportunity.
The thing. It's great collaboration. You know, someone has the answer.
or has done an event before.
Yeah, right.
I think that might be unique to the wine industry. When you're an intern, you really are immersed in a company. Mm-hmm. Unlike, you know, if you're like an intern at a big, you know, advertising agency or something, you're not really getting to be in the nitty gritty like you are in wine. You know, it's because it's kind of a flat structure, right? Everyone does everything and you really get exposed. It's, you know, that kind of internship is so valuable.
Yeah, it was definitely trial by fire.
Yeah,
but I wasn't getting a lot of coffee for people. But no, it was great. I got to do, you know, the marketing side, social media, got to help with like plan and run events, you know, day-to-day tasting room stuff.
Real world.
Yeah, exactly. Got the full hands-on experience.
That's great.
That's what was so great about the wine program at Sonoma State is like that's part of the program is going out, finding your own internship. Like it's setting you up for success in your professional career.
Right.
And it was, you know, I was just fortunate to kind of like get my foot in the door and go from there.
They have that is an amazing program. So through the Wine Road, I'll get the email for the next series of classes that are being offered. And I mean, I make sure I immediately share that with all of our members and tell them, make sure everyone on your staff is seeing this because people can take individual classes also. And a lot of them are just maybe 2 8-hour classes on Saturday, you know, 2 weeks in a row or something. So for someone who's already in the business and they just have an amazing amount of really incredible instructors that help with that. A lot of people that are the CEO of different wineries here that, you know, teach and yeah, it's a great program. So what is your highlight? What's the highlight of your job, you know, that you as the taste room manager at Wilson? What do you love the most?
So, I love that question because I think my favorite part of the job is, you know, of course, you have ongoing projects that you're always working on. But I tell people, like, every day when I show up to work, I almost have no idea what's going to happen. Like, you never know. Like, of course, you have your reservations.
Right.
And we're walk-in friendly. So.
Right.
You know, we could get 2 guests, we could get 30.
Right.
I mean, this last weekend, even though it was, you know, pretty heavy rain.
A lot of rain.
We saw close to 40 groups.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's because nobody had power and they all had to leave the house.
Yeah.
Let's go drink wine somewhere.
Yeah. Come to the winery. We have a nice warm tasting.
Yeah.
But honestly, the greatest thing about my job is, you know, interacting with customers on a daily basis, getting to continuously provide feedback and coaching to tasting room staff.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, there's so much great wine in our company. There's just so much to learn. There's, you know, our cellar master, Juan, and Diane, they've been working together for like 14 years.
Yeah.
So there's so much knowledge between the two of them that they're always providing to us.
So you're happy to show up to work every day because it's always going to be something learning and experience and unexpected. Mm-hmm. That's a great way to go to work, I think.
Yeah, and I kind of dubbed myself the, like, wearer of all hats.
It is fun working in the taste room. I mean, that's how I started. And I would always crack up because every customer that come in would say, you have the best job ever. I would love to do this. I mean, it has its moments. But
yeah.
It is fun. I mean, because people are there from all over the country. Prior to that, I'd worked in retail. And retail in a department store, that's a whole different thing because – if you're looking for a white blouse, you're going to go to that one store and you're going to buy that one white blouse and that's that. But if you're coming wine tasting, you're going to go to a lot of wineries. And so it was so fun to help customers. They liked my wine, but then I could refer them to other places. Like, you know, you'd love this zin. You should also go here and you should also go there. It's just a whole different collaborative situation. I did love it. I had so much fun. Yeah, it's fun.
Can't beat it.
I just love the attitude. You never know what's going to happen
yeah.
every day.
Well, that's what keeps it fresh and fun. I mean, I think if you go to a job every day and you're just going to, you know, run the spreadsheet of the numbers of the sales in the region, you
right.
know,
yeah.
that's not as exciting as, you know, meeting new people and, you know, dealing with maybe little problems that pop up, you know, just managing the whole thing and making it all a wonderful experience for that customer. I mean, it's like a magical job in a way.
Right. And crazy enough, the beauty of being at Wilson is not that we only have local members, but we have a great yeah. base of local,
right.
of Sonoma County, you know, North
right.
Bay members.
Right.
And I'm from a lot of them. I'm like one degree of separation from knowing someone that they
oh,
know.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And of course, that's the industry in general out
yes.
here. But it's, you know, you get to know your customers, you
yeah.
get to know your club members. And I think they really appreciate that extra step of like, oh, like this person's getting to know me.
Yes.
And honestly, you build that connection with someone and, you know, you talk more. Tastings turn into we're talking about, you know, family.
Right. You get to learn about their kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, even working in the office at the Wine Road where I'm just pretty much locked in the office. I've had so many repeat customers that come to our events year after year after year. At this point, I meet customers when they come to town because I've talked to them on the phone for 20 years, you know, and suggested different wineries they go to. So, yeah, it's fun. I like that. And actually, from the podcast, it blows my mind when we do Wine Road events, if I have to be someplace and, you know, host a seminar or whatever, how many podcast listeners show up. At every event we do, there's at least one or two couples that are podcast listeners from across the country
oh, great.
Who have come. So, yeah, that's always super fun. I love that. Like, we do have listeners.
So you're a true native, mm-hmm. and Beth loves to ask this question. What do you love to do on your free time, and what the kind of experiences or things you suggest people do, you know, the quintessential Sonoma County experience?
Oh, wow. So
I'm just going to keep drinking Zin.
Go yes,
no, please.
You go.
Of course, wine tasting is always high up there on the list.
Yeah.
But there's so many great restaurants. There's great breweries in the area. There's some amazing hikes around the area. That's the beauty of Sonoma County is, I mean, if you want to go to San Francisco, you're an hour
right.
from the city. You're 45 minutes from the coast. You're 15, 20 minutes from amazing forests
mm-hmm.
And mountains and hikes.
Yeah, there's so much.
Right.
And they keep opening more open space. I've just noticed there's some new I meant to write it down because I wanted to talk about it, but there's some new area that has been kind of closed off, but it's been open to the public for hiking. So
over on the coast, the It was
Chancellor Ranch. Yes, you jogged my memory. So this was a horse ranch for many years. You jogged my memory. Chancellor Ranch is now open to the public, and it's like a huge property. And that's when you used to see horses on the beach. It was these people bringing groups there. And I guess, luckily, it was bought by the Sonoma, you know, conservatory, whatever they do, the land bank trust, or whatever. Yeah. And so I thought, wow, that's cool because you get the high views, the mountains, and then it's right on the coast there.
Mm-hmm. I think I listened to, I forget his name. He works at Emeritus, one of the last episodes.
Glenn.
Mm-hmm. He mentioned playing disc golf, which I also play.
So
it's a very big thing.
You
in
get
Sonoma
a winery
County.
Intramural disc golf
oh, man,
thing going.
That, sign me up for it.
Where do you play?
Taylor Mountain,
right?
Mountain.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But, you know, Crane Creek Regional Park over kind of right behind Sonoma State.
Oh, okay.
There's also, it's over by Piner High School, blanking on the name, Rosa Park. And it's a little bit of a hike, but over to Lake Stafford in Novato. Oh. And then you got Lake Sonoma up in Healdsburg, which is right next door to work for me.
Because I used to hike a lot around Taylor Mountain, and you'd find the discs on the trail because it's so close. And when Glenn was here, so I find them all the time. I just throw them back. He goes, oh, bless you, you know, because you just throw them back over the fence.
Right. You know, and I know there's like bocce leagues and stuff. Yeah. And there's so much to do, especially when the weather clears up.
The thing is, the weather's nice 9 months out of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it can go a long time.
It's time for our Fast Five. Who do we have on the line now?
Hi, this is Tim Bodell from Francis Coppola Winery.
Ooh, yay.
Hey, Tim. What's your Fast Five recipe?
Well, I have a dish I like to call crab toast.
Ooh, okay. Nice. I'm already in love. I love crab. So what's in that?
Well, of course, crab, Dungeness crab. We have one of my absolute favorite ingredients in the county, Dungeness crab. We're right in the heart of the season now. Mm-hmm. Crusty sourdough bread, some preserved Meyer lemon, green garlic, and either aioli, butter, or extra virgin olive oil, whatever you're feeling.
Okay. And what do we do with those things?
So keep it simple. Keep it simple. Either buy the sourdough bread or make it yourself. Pick some crab meat. Mix that crab meat with some of the preserved Meyer lemon, some fresh chopped green garlic, and sort of blend it all together with some aioli if you'd like to enjoy it cold, or drizzle some butter if you want a hot dish. And eat it just like that. Real simple.
It sounds delicious.
You just spread it on the bread.
Yeah, pile it high.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so
that
I don't want to be.
Perfect.
I'm the non-cook here. So green garlic. What is green garlic?
Green garlic is just the immature stage of regular garlic.
Okay.
And it has delicious garlic flavor. I like to not cook it very long to sort of preserve that garlic flavor.
Okay.
So in an application like this, you can use it like a chive or a green onion. You don't need to cook it. You just chop it or slice it and fold it in. And it's just a very mild, delicious garlic flavor. I love it with crab.
Oh, sounds delicious. Okay, awesome. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks
so
much.
So I also heard, sort of in a nutshell, tell us, the word on the street is you in your younger days started a podcast yourself.
I did film two episodes of a sports podcast with one of my best friends from college. The first two episodes were relatively back-to-back, was with like March Madness coverage for college basketball as well as college football. It was like, you know, 8 months later around like the holiday season. My friend did move to Sacramento, so it makes the getting together and filming a little tougher.
Yeah.
But we've also kind of like revamped like what our idea is. So we've kind of flirted with the idea of restarting it with a little more focus of what we'd be talking about, less current event.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people doing current event sports radio and sports podcasts. Yeah.
So many like podcasts. You really have to have an angle.
Yeah. So I won't give that up over there so no one can steal my idea.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be winery-based sporting events.
Right.
So, well, that's pretty limited.
I'll tell you guys off air.
Yeah. And that's great. Well, as you well know, starting a podcast is no trivial thing. It's a lot of work. And my hat's off to anyone who even attempts it. But it's so hard to maintain that momentum. So once you have a good idea, it's really good to get a few under your belt, yeah, and then keep going. I mean, sometimes I wonder, how did we get to do this for so long? It's a lot of moving parts.
Right. Yeah, you guys are closing on 200 episodes.
Yeah. Coming
soon.
Up. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. 198.
Congrats, you guys.
8
That's
years.
Amazing.
I know. It's a long time.
Don't say that with joy. She's like worn down.
I just
by...
can't believe it. Actually, it just doesn't seem possible.
And award winning.
Yeah.
We've won several taste awards for this podcast. Yeah. And we're nominated probably after this show. Well, no, by the time this show airs, if we're a four-time winner, a four-peat.
A four-peat, exactly. So today, well, first of all, we didn't really talk about going to taste wine at Wilson. So you did say you take walk-ins. Mm-hmm. And then what else? What are the other options? If I were to call ahead, do you have different levels of experiences that people can have? And if I just walk in, what's going to happen for me then? What am I going to taste?
So currently we just have our one signature tasting. Mm-hmm. It's, one weather permitting on our patio.
Oh, yeah.
But we have plenty of space inside our tasting room. Even since we've been seeing the volume of people, we've actually been hosting some, like, extra tables in our barrel room.
I just have to put them in the cellar or something, yeah.
Yeah. Right. So just the one tasting, but I've been working with my boss and our lead with creating a new experience. Eventually, it'll be a cellar tour and tasting. Mm-hmm. So the signature tasting is a four-wine flight. Usually that includes an extra pour or two on top of that.
So it's four?
Four wines.
Okay.
It's usually like a white wine or rosé, and then two Zinfandels and an other red. That could be like a Petite Syrah or a Cab or a blend.
And how much is that?
And that's $25 a tasting, and we waive with a one bottle purchase.
Oh my Lord.
That's very reasonable.
No, I mean, like, the thought process is like we want people, like, you can't take a tasting fee home.
Right.
Like, we want people to enjoy the experience and then take a bottle home and relive that experience when they open the bottle.
Exactly. So that is called the signature tasting.
Signature tasting.
And then if I show up unannounced, what do I get then?
We'll just do the signature tasting.
Oh, you
tasting.
Still do?
Yeah,
okay.
Still offer that. Especially when we move into the peak season, we recommend doing reservations, especially on a Saturday or Sunday when we see quite a bit of people.
That's, you know, at this point, we have 130-something winery members, and I would say 70 of them at this point take walk-ins. But I do tell customers, you know, if there's that one winery that you absolutely, you know, you're planning your trip around seeing this winery, make sure you do get a reservation, even if it's on a Tuesday. I mean, if this is going to make or break your vacation, make sure you have a reservation for them, and then, you know, play around with walk-ins at other places.
Right. We typically see on, like, a weekday, like, especially in peak season, we're talking April to
September,
late fall, November
October,
even.
We'll
probably see on a weekday probably like 15 groups, and then on the weekend close to 50.
It's got to almost double or triple that. Yeah.
I mean, we have quite a big patio, so we can host a lot of groups. And like I said, we'll take walk-ins until there are almost no tables left. We want to provide an awesome experience for people that are.
Yeah.
Mostly going out of their way. I mean, you can stumble on us. You can, you know, drive down Dry Creek and be going to somewhere else and see the coyote on the lawn.
So you see the coyote and you think, oh, I need to swerve into that quickly.
Right. So we do get a decent amount of walk-in traffic.
Well, and that's also, because it's so often a winery down the road that said, oh, when you're heading back into town, make sure you stop at Wilson.
Right. And there's a lot of the great part of Wilson Artisan Wines is there's a lot of like self-driven traffic. You have a wine club member that may be picking up their wine club shipment at Mazzocco. And they're like, you know what? Like, we have a dinner reservation at 5:30. Let's go to Wilson.
Yeah.
And we love to have
town.
Them.
So.
Exactly.
So we should mention the wineries that are in the Wilson portfolio, because everyone is not familiar with that, and kind of hit on what that winery is known for.
Perfect. Well, let's count them out because
there's a lot.
We'll start with Wilson, where I work. We're known for, Zinfandel, and some amazing Petite Syrah and other reds. The next closest to us is Mazzocco. They're over off of Lytton Springs, also known for Zinfandel, Petite Syrah, Cab. Amazing winemaker, Antoine Favreau.
And he's a cutie. He's so personable. I love him.
He's one of the most, like, friendliest winemakers that I've ever met.
Absolutely.
So that's Mazzocco. If you go kind of back down West Side Road, you got Matrix Winery. They're known for their Pinots, but they make amazing Zins and Petit Syrah as well.
Yeah, I really think of them as a Pinot place. That's where I would go for Pinot, yeah, for sure.
And that's Diane Wilson makes the wine there with her daughter, Victoria. Mm-hmm. And then you've got a handful that are all in downtown Healdsburg area, which is Pezzy King. Some amazing wines over at Pezzy King. Chris Barrett is a winemaker over there.
And that's a cool spot. It's right off the by Memorial Beach on the bridge, you mm-hmm. know, coming in the back end of town. It's a cute little spot over there.
Right.
And there's several other wineries in that little complex.
Yeah. And Chris makes some amazing Zinfandel, of course, Petite Sirah, Cab, and actually an amazing late harvest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's hard to find.
Yeah. I mean, he won sweepstakes with that years back.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Because we're like, wow, really? Late harvest? Yeah, that's cool.
And then there's a couple others in downtown. You've got Rockpile Vineyards, which is one of our newer portfolio in the portfolio. They're right there on the roundabout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't miss them. Plus, in the summer, they have all those cool metal chairs and a rainbow color outside.
Yeah.
It's so eye-catching.
Yeah, and you have like the like kind of operates as a, like a little bar right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. It's very Instagrammable.
and they like we're talking all wines from Rockpile. So you got, you know, handful of Zins, I want to say like five or six Zinfandels, a few different Cabs, Cab Franc, mm-hmm. Petit Verdot. Yeah, and that's all from the Rockpile AVA.
Yeah. Super hot and dry.
Mm-hmm. High elevation.
Past Lake Sonoma.
So there's Rockpile, and then I think the only other downtown tasting room there's two. The newest one is Coyote Sonoma, mm-hmm. And that's a like tap room, tasting room, and
it's like the other side live of the roundabout.
Event. Yeah,
and
exactly.
A little event venue.
Yeah, some great concerts.
Great there's, music, yeah.
Wonder Bread 5 plays there fairly often. They've had a lot of tribute bands. Petty Theft has been mm-hmm. there.
And they usually post their music schedule way in advance, so you can kind of see, you know, who's coming up, plan your trip.
Right. And then there's actually two locations for this, but you have Soda Rock. They have a tasting room in downtown Healdsburg currently. It's right next to Willie's, which is mm-hmm. one of my favorite restaurants. Mm-hmm. And then you've got their actual location out in off of 128.
The Barn. Yeah.
Yep, the Barn.
Soda Rock at the Barn.
And Alexander Valley. The other Alexander Valley winery is Delormier. Wines made by Diane and Antoine. I think they both, you mm-hmm. know, kind of make their own set of wines for them. And then you have, I'm only missing the last two, which are up in Mendocino mm-hmm. County. And that's going to be Jackson Keys, mostly known for their Rhones, Chardonnay. And then you make a couple other reds.
And don't they do a port or
Brandy?
They do Brandy. That's mm-hmm. right. Debbie, our amazing Wine Road event manager, worked there for a short time.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, she worked there for maybe, I don't know, a year or two.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. A long time ago.
And then you have a little further into Mendocino, you have Greenwood Ridge, which is on, I guess that's also 128, but heading west.
Anderson Valley.
Mm-hmm. Anderson Valley. And they're known for their Pinot and Chardonnay. Cool, because you have the Matrix wines that are mostly from Sonoma County.
Yeah, Russian River.
And then you have the Anderson Valley mm-hmm. property. Mm-hmm. So you have two completely different styles.
Different Pinots, you can have the complete experience mm-hmm. yes. in the family.
Well,
in
that's
wineries.
The thing is,
it's
like,
amazing.
We offer lodging packages in our portfolio. We have, I want to say, 5 bed and breakfasts. There's also vineyard homes that are available for lodging. And included in your stay are complimentary tastings at our tasting rooms.
So actually, I think I just got an email from that and I just finally connected the dots and thought, oh yeah, those are the Wilson Lodgings. And it's called Artisan Lodging or something.
Artisan Lodges, yeah.
Yeah, and man, there are some really beautiful properties. The bed and breakfast in town in Healdsburg are really beautiful, but there's so many homes that are, you came with a group, you know, 2 couples, 3 couples, whatever. I mean, really some beautiful properties. That's definitely a website worth checking out.
Yeah, artisanlodges.com. Mm-hmm. There's a property that is kind of newer to the portfolio. I actually created part of the program, which is included in your stay. You have a server or like a wine host guide you through a vineyard tour, and then we host a tasting like right there where you're staying on one of the patios.
Oh, what fun.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, really, I look at all of them and think, oh, my gosh, I could do that.
Right.
I have to get some friends who want to go stay just out of town.
It's called the KCV Farm Stay, which is Kenneth Carl Vineyards, mm-hmm. Named after Ken Wilson. Mm-hmm. It's over on West Dry Creek Road, kind of on the corner of like Yoakum Bridge and West Dry Creek.
Okay, I think we probably need to wrap this up, but I did want to mention one more thing. And I know that I'm going to guess that you're involved in Passport. So it's the Wine Growers of Dry Creek Valley, which we don't have any affiliation with that, but it's a great event. It's called the Passport to Dry Creek. It's April 26th through the 28th. You should definitely check out the website if you're going to be in town. It will most likely sell out. So if you're hearing this, you know, April 4th, jump on it if you're interested in tickets. It's drycreekvalley.org to get tickets. They have a weekend tasting. They also have, they've really expanded the event to have some great lunches and dinners and vineyard tours and a lot of one-off kind of things you can do to add to your weekend ticket. You can also do a Sunday-only tasting if you're interested. But it's an incredible event. It's been going for over 30 years, so it's the Passport to Dry Creek Valley. And then I did want to mention one more thing. We have a blog on the website on wineroad.com. And if you go to, you go to experiences on the website, and then you'll see the link for the blog. And we've started doing a little synopsis of each of our podcasts and posting them. There was a short little blog. And from there, you can click on the link to hear it. If you read it and you think that sounds cool, I'd like to know more about that person, you can click on the link. I'm excited. I thought it just turned out so cute. Something new, you know? I always want something new.
So what's the best way for people to contact Wilson Wines? Just through the URL, or what are the deets?
Yeah, website is where you can book reservations straight from the website.
Okay.
You can also reach out to the tasting room via phone, now text, which is great too.
Nice.
That same phone number, you can just text us directly.
And what's the phone number?
707-433-4355.
Which I know pretty well because it's almost the Wine Road number, and we answer 100 calls a day for Wilson Winery. And I'm like, I can't help you with your wine club shipment, but I know who can.
Right. And then also our main email is info@wilsonwinery.com.
Awesome. So we'll put that in the show notes that will end up on the blog that Beth's all excited about.
It looks so good. When I see things like that, I think we are so professional. We just really have it dialed in. It took 8 years, but we finally have that done. Oh my gosh. It was great having you here today, Shane. I had fun.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming, Shane. And we will see you on the wine road.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.